This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Raj Rajaratnam, arrested in October of 2009, on trial for 18 months before the U.S. Southern District of New York. Preet Bharara is the U.S. attorney. The prosecutors are different names, but they're all following the direction of the office. And the trial consists of a way of demonstrating to the jury what it is that Raj and I were just talking about. What is a hedge fund in long and short? And the idea of what is insider trading, which at the time was not carefully defined, as noted by Preet Bharara himself many years later in a commission in 2020. Not defined. So an old saw in law is that juries don't respond to facts. Juries respond to stories. The prosecution is wise that tells a story to the jury about what the perpetrator, what the alleged perpetrator has done. With Raj's case, I would expect it to have been testimony by people who were telling him things that were insider trading. And yet, Raj, I am flabbergasted to learn in your telling that the government called none of the names of people who were said to have passed on insider information to Galleon. Why didn't they call all those people that you spend your time investigating?
So that question requires a multifaceted answer. Number one, it was a case that was all over the newspapers, and the prosecutor wanted to win at all costs, not get the truth out. They did not call any insider, the one that was alleged to have given the tip. What, and if they had done, the truth would have come out. What they did was they used three witnesses, each of whom had done a crime away from Galleon, and got them to testify against me so that they could get a reduced sentence. And after my case, all three of them got parole. These witnesses were coached and coerced by the prosecution. In fact, one of the witnesses, the main witness, totally reversed his story 3 years later on the same charges, in the same circuit, with the same witnesses. And he said, I didn't give Raj any information that was useful. And the jury acquitted him. Now, if you were a prosecutor that wanted the truth, you would have gone after the star witness, Anil Kumar. Either he was telling the truth in my case, under oath, or he was telling the truth in my co-conspirators. He couldn't have it both ways. And I would submit to you that when Anil Kumar was not under the leash of the prosecutor because he had been given 2 years sentence and had served it, he told the truth.
All right, let's go right to Anil Kumar, because this is someone you knew as a friend, as a colleague, for decades. You met him at the first time at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania in 1981. You both graduated 1983. He went to work for McKinsey, an analysis firm, and you describe him as having a bland personality. What the facts support is that he had a dark side, a part of him that was ruthless, I would say amoral. Did you ever, thinking back now, Raj, did you feel at any time in your lengthy conversations with him over the years, meeting him, that he was a deceptive person, that he wanted to stab you in the back? Did you feel that?
No, I didn't feel that, John. In fact, about 2 months before my arrest, he sent me an email how amazing it was for us to reconnect and how he like the life choices I have made. But what I had realized was he was trying to get me to be a client of McKinsey so that he could get credit for the Galleon business. What he had done over the years is shield his income in a Swiss bank account.
Right.
And that was his Achilles heel. And so to avoid jail time, he testified against me. I think he got some conscience after he was sentenced and then testified truly in my co-conspirators' case.
Right. In 2014, he testified again in a case against your younger brother. And he told the truth, and the case was dismissed. Your brother was found not guilty when he told the truth 3 years later. Now, Raj, help me. I'm an amateur. How is it not important that a major witness reversed himself 3 years later while you were incarcerated? Didn't they come to you and say, Raj, we've made a mistake?
You would think in the perfect world, and if you thought that the justice system was here to get the truth, you would do that. It's even worse. We filed an appeal saying that the major witness has recanted his story. And as you read in the book, we put his testimony against the testimony in my brother's case. And the government said that he must have forgotten. It was 3 years ago. But they didn't address the thing that he seemed to remember, things that happened 10 years ago. So the bigger picture here is ambitious prosecutors, and not all prosecutors are bad. I'm going to say that off the top of the, you know, at the very beginning. There is a sliver of prosecutors who are so ambitious that they bend the rules to win, because in this country, the judicial system is politicized. The district attorney is appointed by the president. They have a clear career path to either become partners in law firms, judges. The Cato Institute has shown that the best way to become a judge is to spend time as a prosecutor. Or if you look at the majority of the congressmen and senators who have a legal background, they were ex-prosecutors. So the system is politicized. And one of the reasons I wrote this book, that the prosecutors act with immunity. And if you care about civil liberties and civil social justice, I felt that I needed to bring awareness. Now, I would also like to mention at this point that not a single dollar of this book goes to me. All of it is going to a charity called evenjustice.org. And we are going to publicize how certain prosecutors bend the rules to achieve their career aspirations.
If there were rules for insider trading, what I've learned from your telling, Raj, is that there never have been rules. I mean, this is the SEC was started by Joe Kennedy, a colorful actor, but not a man that you would go to for probity. Now, there are three witnesses the government brings only to trial. Three witnesses. All these names, all these stories that I read in the Wall Street Journal, Rumi Khan, Danielle Chiesu, others, no, they don't bring them. They're the ones who originally alerted the SEC or told the SEC they were giving you privileged information. Who knows what that means? Anu Kumar, we've talked about him. Rajiv Goel, another Wharton graduate. And Adam Smith. I want to go to Adam Smith because he worked for you. And he was ready to testify in your favor. And then what happened?
So Adam Smith started soon after Galleon was closed. Adam Smith started his own firm called Rose Lane Partners. Now, I have to just mention here that not a single investor lost money or sued Galleon, because we closed the fund and gave all the money back to the investors. Adam Smith was caught trading on inside information in his new fund. The FBI had an informant call him, set him up, and he traded on that information. So Agent Kang went to him and said the same thing. Take a good look at your kids. You're not going to see them for 20, 25 years. Adam Smith's original investor was an investor that had invested with Galleon. So Adam Smith, in a panic, called the investor and said, I need to speak to you. And he told the investor from Polaris Investments what had happened. And this investor told Adam, tell the truth. Well, he called me and said, I've just had lunch with Adam Smith, and this is what Adam told me. I said, sir, please write it in a memo and send it to my lawyer, John Dowd. So we had a letter from the investor, Polaris Investments, to John Dowd, outlining the conversation he had with Adam. Well, the judge did not allow that as evidence, while he allowed wiretaps as evidence. Wiretaps in which the FBI lied. The judge said it had, the FBI had a reckless disregard for the truth, but he allowed the wiretaps.
Rajiv Goel, another Wharton graduate, and it involves events that date to March of 2008, another very dire month, Raj. We all remember it. At this point, the beginnings of the banking crisis are underway. And the federal government at the time, the Bush administration, is seeking to intervene in some fashion to pull together the panic that's spreading. Rajiv Goel was a man who was talking to you all the time. You take phone calls from all of your friends over the years, including you take cold calls from people who aren't your friends. It's your nature to find information. Rajiv Goel takes loans that he doesn't from you that he doesn't report to the IRS. Therefore, he's charged with income tax evasion. Is that correct, Raj?
Yes, he called me and said that his father was in hospital, that they were going to lose their apartment in Bombay, and whether I could send him some money urgently. And I, a guy that I knew for a long time from Wharton, I did that. He took that money and hid it in a Swiss bank account to evade taxes. And he also, like Anil Kumar, hid some of his income in Swiss bank accounts. So that's the hook that the FBI got him on and wanted to testify against me.
Right. And they made the case that you'd paid him for information then. Is that exactly right.
But Rajiv Goel said that this was a loan, and he explained the reason I gave him the loan. And I could see anger on the face of the prosecution because they were trying to prove a benefit. And then Rajiv Goel testified that he may have talked about the financials, that he had no access to the financials of Intel. He may have talked to me about Intel's earnings one time in 8 years, and he didn't know whether it was the information was positive or negative. The prosecutor, in the summation to the jury, misled the jury and the court by saying, Rajiv Goel called Raj and whispered that Intel's earnings were going to be good. And if a defense lawyer, Mr. Dowd, had made the same comment, which is mislead the jury, he could be disbarred or he could be charged with perjury. This is not even-handed.
No.
The prosecution has so much power. And the single reason is there's no accountability. Today, in the New York newspapers, three Queens people, people from Queens, were awarded $21 million for spending decades in prison because of prosecutorial misconduct. Do you think the prosecutors were even given a slap on the wrist? This is an uneven system. And this is why I wrote the book, to create awareness and the threat to civil liberties. John, if the FBI is allowed to lie on a wiretap and the judge allows it to be admissible in court, every American, including you, should be concerned about civil liberties.
The book is Uneven Justice, The Plot to Sink Galleon. Raj Rajaratnam is the author. When we come back, whatever happened to? I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.